Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's work on it. Let's see if we can get connected to the pastor, because that is that time, and I think the pastor just responded, and now we're able to get connected. I was wondering, my goodness, Lord, what are you doing? And you know this moment when you talk to the Lord, and the Lord keeps quiet and says, do what you said you're going to. You know, when the Lord reprimands you, I felt like I was being reprimanded today by the Lord. 20 minutes now before 1. Good afternoon. Welcome back. And thank you very much. It's time for us to get into our Ask a Pastor segment with Pastor Joseph Fada. Pastor JFK, good afternoon to you.
Good. How are you?
I'm very well.
Happy preparation.
Same to you, my pastor. Thank you very much. And today's our final day today, and our question for today is, how should people balance gratitude with a desire for change in their lives? Pastor, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I am. I have a challenge with network today. Let me try to find this special spot.
Sorry about that, Pastor.
I'm not in the office today.
Okay. All right. Did you hear the question?
Yeah. You can just...
Let me give you the question again. No, not a problem. The question says, how should people balance gratitude with a desire for change in their lives? I suppose this person is feeling, I still want some more. I'm grateful I got this, but I want some more, Lord. You know, I'm happy I have a married, but I want a happy marriage. I'm happy I have children, but I want children that behave. I'm happy I have a car, but I need a car that actually works properly. I'm happy I have a job, but I want a job that actually pays me properly. I'm happy I am alive, but I need a healthy life. You know, all these things that you are grateful for, but you still want just a little more. So this person is asking, how should people balance gratitude with a desire for change in their lives?
Okay, so, you know, this week has been loaded with very pragmatic situations in our lives. And I think today borders on issues of contentment. When you're content with what you have,
yeah,
it does not mean you can't improve, and also improving what is currently there does not also mean you are not content with what you have.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is where now we need to strike that balance. Yeah, because you see, when God has given you something, We really need to be grateful about it. But then, at the end of the day, we need to be realistic. I think that is where the issue comes in. I can give you a practical example. Me, I don't have a boy child.
Okay.
I only have three girls.
Okay.
You know? And I love them so much. But then within our societal construct, you know, there's this thing to say, if you don't have a boy, then you don't yet have, you know, children, so to say. That is, I don't know that side, but here that is the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. But then the issue is not about having a child who is a boy or a girl. The appreciation is, I have children, regardless of their gender. And God gives what I can handle, and what I cannot handle, He can't give. You know? So this is one example where we are supposed to acknowledge the good that we have. Because others don't even have the same girls that I have. You know? And they are coming for prayers. Please, Pastor, pray that we may be able to conceive, and so on and so forth. So I think the starting point is acknowledging that whatever we have, it is a perfect gift from God. So we acknowledge the good, we focus on the present, and we must be mindful, you know, that what we have, we would rather rejoice and appreciate what we have than what we do not have. Actually, what brings anxiety is missing what's there and failing to appreciate what is present. And this is the emphasis from the writings of Paul, where he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, make it known before God.
I don't know whether
you're able to get me. I don't know whether I'm missing you at some point.
I'm not sure I understand, Mfundis, because the situation is appears to this person as though it's in conflict one with the other. It's as though when he asks for change in his life or her life, they are not satisfied. They are not content. And then when they are grateful, it's as though they don't want any more. So it's that balance that they need help with. How do they balance the two? Can the two coexist, gratitude and a desire for more, or at the very least, a desire for change?
Okay, so what we are looking at is, to begin with, I think I mentioned to say, when you have something, you need to appreciate it. You need to be content with what you have. You know, but then does it mean there is no room for improvement? Is it wrong to desire to improve? Again, we are saying no. There's nothing wrong to desire. Yeah, because God desires that we must grow at the end of the day. And maybe if we were to use even the parable of the talents, you know, this one is given two, he multiplies. He multiplies to four. So that multiplication is an aspect of growth. But then that does not mean this person does not appreciate what they already have. So the balance then comes in, number one, you know, acknowledging what you have to say, okay, this is good. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. This is my gratitude. You know, I appreciate the gift that God has given me. You know, if I'm talented to do this, yes, I am grateful that I have this situation. But then, if there is any room to improve, that room must be pursued because it will bring out the best in me. Unlike that person, like if I was to use the talent example, where this guy says, I can't improve on this because I don't want to disturb what I've been given. Again, that is another error. So we are looking at two things. When you improve, it does not mean, again, you don't appreciate.
Yeah.
You appreciate, but then still you need to improve. You know, there is room. Somebody said the biggest room is a room for improvement.
I'm okay with that.
Improving does not suggest that you are not grateful for what you have.
So tell me, Mfundis, do we have any scriptural basis for this train of thought? Again, I'm okay with the train of thought. The reasoning is it makes sense. I just need to know, do we have any biblical support for this kind of reasoning?
Yes. I would refer mostly to, you know, I would refer mostly to like the writings of Paul. In Philippians, it says, rejoice always. You know, again, I say rejoice. When Paul is talking about rejoicing and all things, he's conflicted. But he finds joy
right.
in the thought that he says, we forget all things and press towards the mark. You know, yes, these things we have, we appreciate, whether good or bad. But then there should always be something we must strive for that is, you know, yes.
my curiosity was on the part of being content and yet seeking more. If you're content, then why are you seeking more? If you're seeking more, it suggests that you're not happy, you're not satisfied, you're not content.
Okay. Not really that you are not satisfied, you know, not really that. I think the angle I am trying to look at it is on the aspect of improving, the aspect of growing. And when we go from the beginning, God says, okay, be fruitful, and multiply.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it is a godly principle to increase. It's a godly principle to multiply. You know, it is a godly principle that does not mean you are not content with what you have. You can still increase. That is the capacity God has given us to increase or to improve.
Right. Hey. Does the Bible say that, Pastor?
Yes. He says, be fruitful.
I understand. No, that part I understand. I'm just trying to understand if the Bible does say if you are content, then you can still ask for more. It sounds self-contradictory. It's like somebody who says, I have eaten and I'm satisfied. I'm content, but you're still eating. You want some more food. That makes you a glutton.
The example and the line of thought at hand is that we must be having a heart that appreciates what we have.
Right.
That's the starting point.
Mm.
That's the starting point. And this can be, you know, even the career that you have. You know, even the career that you have, it's a gift from God.
Right.
Are you grateful with it? The wife that you have.
Mm.
It's a gift from God. Mm. Are you happy there?
Mm.
You know. So using an example of a wife, you say, okay, yes, I'm content. You can't increase there.
if you're not a Bible man, yes, you can't increase. But we've seen Bible men increasing when they say.
So you find there are some areas where, you know, you can't do this, you know, but there are some things whereby, for example, you have two goats. Yes, you are content, but the natural law desires that the numbers must multiply.
Mm.
In the same multiply as you get a better breed, it does not mean you are not content. You are, but then you must grow, you know, you must get more, you must, and actually, the more you improve, it's actually a stewardship principle that we must grow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, all right. No,
so far we have things whereby, okay, there are certain things,
right,
which you can't multiply, you can't increase, you can't ask for more. You know, you need to be grateful.
Right.
For instance, if my stature, I am short, there's no way I can desire to be tall.
Right.
So I need to appreciate what God has given me in this space, and there's nothing I can do to change that. But those things where I have control, yes, I have, but I have control to improve. I need to improve. Those things that I cannot control, because of the laws of nature, they must remain as they are.
So this person, Mfundisi, is using the word change. I don't know if we are scratching that part about change. Can you be happy with something you want to change? Is it possible to be grateful for something you want to change? Is it possible to be content with something you want to change? Again, because if you want to change it, it means it's not satisfactory. It doesn't satisfy you. It gives you no contentment. Are we being realistic to say you must be happy? Because if you want change, it means you're not happy. Change, not even growth now, Mfundisi. I can understand the issue of growth because you want the same thing to grow. I am okay with growth. But this person is talking about change, which means it should no longer be what it is now.
It's a different, maybe it resonates with a line I was reading a few days ago, where somebody says, if you love your first wife,
right,
then for you to get a second one.
Then what? Say that again, Fundis.
There's no need for you to get a second
one. Oh, okay. Okay.
You are getting a second one because you're not happy with the first one.
Okay.
So it means you love the second one more than the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think this one now resonates well with the questionnaire, the quest for the questionnaire. If indeed you are happy and content with what you have in this particular context, then why desire to change? But then the question says, how should people balance gratitude, an attitude of being thankful, over something you want to change? So why are you changing what you are thankful for? So meaning, in this case, if you want to change, then you're not thankful.
Mm.
If you are thankful, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm listening, my pastor. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you are thankful, then why do you want to change?
Right.
And this is the question that begs an answer.
Mm.
You know. So I think in this aspect, I think it is creating a paradox.
Mm.
Yeah, it is creating something to say. Then it means you are not grateful.
So what what do you say to this person who asked this question, Mfundis? How do you balance these two? Are you able to? Are you saying therefore that you can't balance them? It's either you're grateful or you change it. What are you saying now? What's the final analysis, Pastor?
So the final analysis is that you appreciate the fact that when God gives you something, He doesn't make a mistake.
Okay.
You know, what you have been given is what you must find a way. You must find a way of loving what is in your possession.
Mm.
You know, you must find a way. You must learn. You must grow to love what is available and not what is not available. Because the fact that we are saying we want to change,
right?
It discredits the value of what is available.
Right.
Mm.
Yo.
So,
if God gives you prison, you must be happy with prison, Mfundis.
If God makes you a black man, be a black man.
I'm okay with that.
Don't change.
I'm okay with that.
Don't become white. If you are a man, you are a man. You can't cross over to the other side.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. There are things though that come our way that we pray for and we pray against. I mean, Job. Are you saying Job should have delighted in his affliction? He must have been happy. Should have been happy with his affliction. Is that what the pastor is saying?
every good thing, everything that comes from God is good for me, except at the time it is happening, I may not appreciate it. But you see, the bad that came to Job was not from God.
Ah, you pastor. Wait, Mfundis. You, as theologians, you always tell us about the different kinds of war, the decretive will of God, the permissive will of God, the direct will of God, all those. So it was his will. So he didn't. It was his will that he must go through that, isn't it, Pastor?
To perfect him, because there was a greater responsibility that was coming ahead of him.
Mm.
There was a greater blessing that was coming. So it was necessary for him to go through that route. It was for his growth, actually.
Ah, which growth? Because he remained the same Job, eh? Which growth are we talking about? Which growth for this?
Perfecting his level of responsibility. Because the wealth he was going to have later on was more than he had before. And so to be responsible enough over such kind of a greater responsibility, it was necessary for the perfection of his character.
Does the Bible say that in Fidus? Does the Bible say that he was put through that because God wanted him to be more responsible for the good that he's going to receive?
Of course, the Bible tells us that it was the enemy who was afflicting him, you know. But when God allowed it that he goes through that experience, it was for his own good at the end of the day, though it looked bad. Because his relationship with God actually strengthened, you know. Isn't it James who says, count it all joy when you have been faced with when you have been faced with trials,
diverse trials,
and besides, God is not manufactured at a low temperature.
Oof.
the higher the intensity, the purer.
Okay.
The quality that is going to come out.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to hold on to that James quote, count it all joy. I count it all joy. Hi, Kabila Mfundisi. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day. Happy preparation day. A blessed Sabbath to you further. Until next time, thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.